service tonight in the Savior's name. As the Lord will bless our coming together this evening. To emphasize again the restrictions, you're aware of them as we leave. We'll be told just when it's safe to go out, socially distancing us, entering and exiting the building while in the building. Let's not drop our guard, you know, the days we're living in. We trust that you'll just keep that in mind, please. Offering baskets as you leave at the exit tonight. Could I just mention, on Wednesday night is the prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 p.m. Continuing our Bible studies and survey of the New Testament this week in 2 Corinthians. That is on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. We encourage as many as possible that feel safe to come to our prayer meeting. It's a vital meeting and we need to pray. I shouldn't need even to tell you that in these times that we're living in. Youth Fellowship continuing on Zoom on Friday night at 8 o'clock. The link will be sent out before then to you. I continue to do whatever pastor work I can, as is possible for me to do, mainly by telephone or by a doorstep visit if necessary during these times. All of the church meetings and activities are being kept under constant review. Next Lord's Day, I will be here at both services, God willing, to bring the Word of God in the morning in the church and here in the evening in the church hall, concluding our messages in John's Gospel, the miracles of Christ in the evening time. Pre-church prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs from 6:20 to 6:45. Next Lord's Day will be our Missionary Council Sunday. There'll be separate baskets at the exits as you leave for this retiring offering. Please remember those who are sick, especially remember Carl and Maureen Strip at this time, that God's hand will be upon them, that they will know the touch of the Lord and his healing hand. And others who are waiting for procedures or have gone through procedures, waiting for results, please remember all of these as well. Remember Mrs. Kearns and the family in this time of loss. We mentioned this morning the loss of Dr. Alan Kearns. And do please remember that family at this time. Also, I know our Mount Marion Church had lost a dear man, faithful man, George Thompson, who was taken home to be with the Lord. Do remember that. And also, Billy McCulloch is very, very critically ill, a committee member of our Mount Marion Church. So remember these families at this time in your prayers. Please do earnestly pray for them. Do look out for each other and pray for each other and keep in touch with each other, whatever safe way you can do that in these times. Let the Bible Speak calendars for 2021 can be purchased from our brother Robert Catterson for £3.50. If you want to have these, do see our brother Robert at some stage about that. We're going to join in the singing now of our opening hymn, and it'll come on the screen, 204 in the hymn book. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay. Keep our seats as we sing.
Let us stand, please, if we can. Our gracious, loving Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for gathering us together in this, the evening of Thy day. We pray for help from heaven tonight as we meet around Thy feet and around Thy word as Thy servant ministers in song. We pray that, Lord, Thou wilt be glorified tonight, that Satan and all the powers of darkness will be put to flight. And, O God, that Thou wilt cause Thy face to shine upon us and Thy blessing to be our portion tonight, even in the salvation of some precious soul or souls. Some man or woman, some boy or girl will come in living faith to Christ and be saved. We think of this Remembrance Sunday. We remember the fallen, those who gave their lives in two world wars. We give You thanks, O God, for all that was accomplished in those times and all that we have been blessed with as a result. And our gracious God and Father, we pray that we'll not misuse our liberties, but that we'll use them for the glory and for the honor of Thy great name. Lord, we come tonight with sadness too, and remember the loss of our dear brother, Dr. Kearns. And our hearts are sad tonight. Such a great man has been taken, but Lord, he's promoted to glory. And Lord, he's in Thy presence. He's the richer, we are the poorer. Thank You for all that was accomplished through his life and his ministry, his faithful preaching of the Word of God, his teaching of generations of students down through these years. And Father, we pray that Thou wouldst bless his wife and comfort her, comfort his son, daughter-in-law, and family in the United States. Remember his sister Betty here too, and all of the wider circle. So many friends were heartbroken in his departure. O God, we pray that today Thou wilt comfort them. Remember other families in grief and loss. Think of the Thompson family there in Mount Marion. Think of the family too for Brother Billy as he lies so ill. Remember Pauline and Emma tonight. Draw near to that family. Even through this, speak to Emma's heart. Remember Lorraine and Gary too and that whole family circle. Comfort their hearts in these days, we pray. Draw near with Thy peace and with Thy presence. Move, Lord, in our congregation, those who are ill too, and those who are going through procedures, waiting for results. Undertake for them, Lord, each and every one of them. We pray for Carl and Maureen at this time, that Thou wilt especially draw near to them. For others who are shielding and cannot get out to church as they formerly did. We pray that Thou wilt bless those who are still afraid to come, even with all of these things that are happening, and understandably so. Lord, draw graciously near to each one. Meet every need and answer prayer. Grant us Thy favor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our sister Natasha is going to come now, and she's going to minister to us in song at this particular stage of the service.
I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, precious Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, precious Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Thank you, Natasha, for ministering to us tonight, again in the gospel. We're going to read some verses from the Word of God tonight. We find them in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, and reading from verse 1. We'll read down some verses, and then we'll break off, and then we'll start off again later on in the chapter. So first of all, John chapter 11, verse 1, let us hear the Word of God tonight. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold him whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he is the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then over to verse 32 of the same chapter, John 11, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? He said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. But turn again to another hymn, the second hymn tonight, and it will come up on the screen. It is the hymn, There Is a Story Sweet to Hear, I Love to Tell It To. 211 in the hymn book, keeping our seats as we sing, and then Natasha will come and bring her second piece to us.
Hold you.
our Savior, ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear of death is gone, for we carry his life in our veins. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the heavens. Our King will return for his own. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout. All the glory to Jesus alone. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Thank you, Natasha. For obvious reasons, we are giving Natasha a little bit of a break now for a little while. But knowing Natasha, she will be back very quickly afterwards. But we trust all will go well for her and her family in the days that are to come. Thank you once again. We'll stand as we pray. Let us stand, please. Gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I'm trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. The subject is From Death to Life. As we look at the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole, I suppose that one that stands out is this one, where he raises Lazarus from the dead. He was dead, buried for 4 days. Amazing. But he was raised from the dead. The 7 miracles connected with the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and selected by John as 7 of his 8 signs begin and end with a family. One in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, and one in Bethany of Judea. The one was at a wedding, a time of rejoicing. The other, a funeral, life's saddest hour. At the one, he changed the water into wine. At the other, he triumphed over the tomb. And both miracles, looking at them, were humanly impossible. The one revealed him as the Lord of creation, and the other revealed him as the creator of life. In the incident before us here in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, from which we've read tonight, we begin with a special family here in verses 1 to 2. And John adds further identification by telling us that The Mary involved here is that Mary, verse 2, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. There are six Marys mentioned in the New Testament. And so this identification of this particular Mary by the Lord Jesus Christ is very helpful. John does not actually record the incident of the anointing of the Lord Jesus by this Mary until its proper place in the next chapter, John chapter 12. And so into that peaceful family and home, there came sudden fear in verse 3. It was bad enough that Lazarus was sick. The verb used, was sick, here points to great weakness and exhaustion that had overcome his bodily frame. In the Gospels, it's usually translated sick, while in Paul's epistles, it is translated weak. It's the same word that was translated impotent there in John's Gospel chapter 5 in relation to the helplessness of the man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5 verse 7. And what was worse, from the standpoint of the sisters, was that Jesus had gone away. They had no doubt that had he been at Jerusalem, he would have hurried those 2 miles from Bethany or to Bethany and healed his friend Lazarus. But there was what these sisters must have thought was a perplexing delay. They sent word to Jesus in verse 3. You will note the words, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." His friend Lazarus, the one for whom he had that special brotherly love, was very ill. He was weakening. He was sinking. It seemed as if he was going to die, and of course he did. His situation was desperate. And the Lord at this particular time was at Bethabara beyond Jordan, about 25 miles from Jerusalem. We can picture the one hurrying to deliver the urgent message to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning Lazarus. You can picture those anxious sisters waiting at home, hoping against hope, by the deathbed of their brother Lazarus, that Jesus might arrive in time. Or did they perhaps expect him to heal him from afar, as he had done with others on previous occasions? And so fear would have gripped their hearts. Lazarus was dying. Perhaps they had delayed too long in getting the message to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning him. And hear what Jesus said in verse 4 of the passage. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." See, there was a divine plan and purpose in it all. Of course, Mary and Martha didn't understand all of this mystery. There are situations we grapple with, dear friends, in our lives. We cannot see the way out. We cannot see the way whereby we can get light at the end of this tunnel. No doubt they were mystified by the delay of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the declaration of the Lord at that time concerning their brother. It was all understandable. The darkness of this hour for these sisters, the depression, perhaps even the great distress and despair. But the Lord was in control of the situation, as he is in the control of every situation. You may find yourself tonight in a particular situation of life, and you're grappling around and looking this way and that way for a solution to the problem. But remember, the Lord is in control. Delays are not denials. And we see at the end of this wonderful story how the Lord is glorified in it all. The divine intervention in the case of Lazarus from death to life. A miracle, a marvelous miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
And my dear friend, you may have come to this meeting tonight dead in trespasses and in sins, but thank God you can experience before you leave this place tonight new life in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he declares in this very passage, is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's some things concerning this wonderful incident in the gospel, this wonderful miracle that I want to notice with you tonight. First of all, you have the death of Lazarus. Here in verses 11 to 14. The reality of death is brought before us. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was now dead. And of course, he knoweth all things. And when the disciples here didn't discern when the Lord was using symbolic language concerning Lazarus, his death, he plainly said unto them in verse 4, Lazarus is dead. Let there be no doubt about it. And the reality of death, dear friends, is something that is before us day and daily in our lives. You may not want to face up to it, but you need to tonight. You cannot, but like the proverbial ostrich, bury your head in the sand. You need to recognize tonight that this is reality, day and daily, that the Bible says man dieth. It is appointed unto man once to die. How many times you've heard this week, oh, we hear it every day, don't we? Those somber words about death. So and so has died, or so many have died. Someone we knew. Someone close to us, not just a name that we read in the newspaper or have heard in the news. In verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Lazarus was dead. And the Lord was not glad because he was dead. That would have been very heartless in view of the sorrow of his sister. But he was glad because he knew the outcome. He knew that life would replace death. He was going to awake him. Verse 11. If it had been in the immediate vicinity when his friend had taken ill, it would have been hard for him not to have healed him there and then. And the disciples, his sisters, and the world would have been robbed of an extraordinary demonstration of the power, a remarkable illustration of the resurrection that is brought before us in this passage of God's Word. The reality of death. Are you facing up to that tonight? If you haven't faced up to it, sooner or later you will have to face up to it. It's better now that you face up to it and prepare for it than you're faced with it without preparing. Notice here not only the reality, but notice the reaction. You see the reaction of Thomas. It was one of utter despair. In verse 16 of the passage here, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. In those despairing words, Thomas showed how little faith he really had. All he could see was the hostility of the Jews, their determination to get rid of Jesus. Of course, the other passages in the Word of God that mention Thomas show that this is true to character. He was a doubter. He was a doubter. Unbelief filled the heart of Thomas. But then later on, he had that faith that was given to him when he saw the nail prints in the hand of Christ and the riven side. He said, my Lord and my God. Oh, that tonight you might be delivered from unbelief and that you might have that faith in Jesus Christ. Notice the sorrow here in verses 17 to 37. The sorrow that gripped the bereaved household of Lazarus. A sorrow that seems to have broken out afresh by the Lord's belated arrival. He tells us about the sorrow of the sisters and then about the sorrow of the Savior. If you read these verses carefully, The Savior was here dealing with a devastating loss that had happened in this family to Mary and Martha, and their dear brother was taken. And all human hope was gone. Lazarus was rotting in the grave. The sisters' friends could only comfort them concerning their brother, verse 19. The word for comfort here means to speak tenderly, to console, and they sought to draw alongside to give those words of comfort. They did not know about it, but the Lord Jesus Christ had delayed his coming so that he would arrive at the right moment. When all human help was gone, when trust in the arm of flesh had gone, they were at the end of themselves. They were at their wits' end. And into that scene of desolation and devastation came the wonderful news that Jesus Christ was coming. Look at verse 20. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Jesus was coming. And so we have here the death of Lazarus. But the Lord Jesus Christ was coming into this scene of death to draw alongside this family and to manifest his mighty power. I want you to see, secondly, not only the death of Lazarus, but I want you to see the declarations in regard to his passing. In verse 23 and verses 25 to 26. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. This is to Martha. And then verses 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha was a woman of faith. And we see how she expressed it there in verses 21 and 22. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Her faith was clearly declared, imperfect as it was, yet Jesus built upon it. Verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. It was a confident statement of fact. If death is the final answer to the human state, then the devil has won. God's answer to sin is death, and his answer to death is the resurrection. And thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for life in the place of death. And when Martha accepted his words, as we see in verse 24, she fully believed in the end time of the resurrection of believers. You'll notice there in verse 24, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She believed the Old Testament scriptures, you see, that spoke of the resurrection. Remember what Job said there in chapter 19 and verses 23 to 26. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though the worms destroy this flesh and body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Oh, she believed in the resurrection of believers. And while her faith here was expressed, the Lord wanted it to be expanded. Look at verses 25 to 27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? He said, verse 26. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 27. Which should come into the world. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted the faith of this woman to be expanded. Here is the truth from Christ. No mere man could have made such a claim to have a mastery over death. See his emphatic I am in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. How often have we come across in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ these I am statements? The Lord was about to prove to Martha and to Mary and to the world that this was no religious rhetoric. This was a statement of fact. And see how Martha responded. She believed. And the thought and the words there in verse 27 is this: "Yea, Lord, I believe." And the sense of those words is this: I have believed. You see, this was personal belief as far as Martha was concerned. Her very own belief in the power of Jesus Christ to raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. And so she went, as she heard the truth from Christ, she went to spread the tidings about Christ. She went with the good news to her sister Mary. She lost no time in running back to the house with the news that Jesus was on his way. Mary was taken up with grief, was not aware that Jesus was so near. But with real tact, Mary sought out her sister alone and told her the good news. Look at verse 28. "The Master has come and calleth for thee." What tidings! The Master has come. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. And Mary rushed out of the house, not to the tomb, but to the Savior. She met him in the very place where Martha had met him. She fell at his feet, verse 32. Using the same words as her sister, she confessed her thoughts. In verse 32 of the passage here in John 11, "And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In using the same words, she confessed her thoughts. Her heart was overwhelmed at the anguish that she had. And she saw in her sister. And so we have the sorrow of the sisters, overwhelmed with grief and pain and anguish and loss. They'd lost their brother, someone precious to them. But then we have the sorrow of the Savior. Look at verses 33 to 35. "And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see." And then we have those wonderful words, the shortest verse in the Bible, in John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The tears of Christ. Notice what Jesus saw here. He saw the pain that they were in. The word for weeping here in verse 33, in the first part of that verse, it means to wail. Those who were gathered, they were wailing. All around Jesus at this time was these passionate expressions of grief. The Lord Jesus Christ had been on earth for 33 years. He'd seen many tears. He'd helped to heal many broken hearts. But here were these special friends. Their home had been his home, Bethany. Many a time he'd relaxed there with Lazarus, their brother, with these sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha had been busy bustling about the house, preparing this and offering that, ministering to his comforts. Mary, thoughtful and earnest, eager to learn, you remember, had sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But now Lazarus is dead. And these sisters are desolate. Instead of happy days with the buzz of conversation and occasional bursts of laughter, there was tears, there was weeping, wailing. The Bible tells us here in verse 33 that Jesus groaned in his spirit and was troubled. You see the trauma of Christ here? The word for groan means to be deeply agitated. It's used in the New Testament to indicate displeasure or indignation. It's used, for instance, to describe the indignation some persons felt at what they considered was the waste of a rare and costly ointment poured over Jesus' head in the house of Simon the leper at Bethany. In Mark 14, verse 4, the Lord felt indignation and outrage at what death had done. You see, death is an enemy, dear friends. It's an enemy. And this enemy of death had come to disturb this family, to cause this family to be distraught. And how often it comes, and you've experienced it in your family at some time or another. Death is an enemy. And the Lord was troubled, the Bible tells us, literally, he shook with emotion. He was so moved, it caused his whole body to tremble with indignation and grief. Notice what he said in verse 34, "Where have ye led him?" He said unto him, "Lord, come and see." He asked to be taken to the tomb where Lazarus was laid not because he wanted to see a grave, but because he wanted to gather the people there in the place where this miracle would be wrought, where death would be replaced with life. Nowhere in the Word of God is the deity of Christ so much in evidence here as in this wonderful story. Nowhere else is his humanity more in evidence. The Lord Jesus Christ here, the eternal Son of God, who walked upon the scene of time. The Bible tells us in John 11:35, Jesus wept. The tears of Jesus. And the sense of the words here is that he burst into tears. It's the same word that's used of the weeping of Mary. Verse 31, it's not the same word, rather, that's used of them in verse 31, or the Jews weeping in verse 33. It's not a wail of despair that comes from Christ. It's rather the strong crying and tears of the Son of God, moved at the death of his friend. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, dear friends, because he's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53 says. He wept out of sorrow for Martha and for Mary, for Lazarus' friend. He wept because his heart was broken at the sadness of death, the sorrows that knew no solace. He wept also because he was God. He could see what they could not see. And see the mention of those who were gathered there, verses 36 and 37. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" They saw his feeling, but some considered what he had done or what he had failed to do as being a failure. They said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And so we have here the death of Lazarus. We have here these declarations concerning his death. But we have finally tonight the deliverance from death to life. Because here in this wonderful passage of God's word, dear friends, tonight we have the grave confronted in verses 38 to 40. You see again the feelings of the Savior as he came to the grave, verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. No doubt he groaned at the unbelief of the Jews at this time. There's a strong possibility that the words of the Jews about him not healing Lazarus was said with a sense of scorn and ridicule. They were questioning his power. The feelings of the Savior. He groaned in his spirit. But then we see also the finality of the sepulchre. Look at verse 38 again, and what it says there. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Caves so sealed by stone doors were frequently used as tombs. And often the door was in the shape of a millstone and was fitted into a groove along which it was rolled, either to seal or open the tomb. And here we have a sealed tomb, the tomb of Lazarus, secured by a large boulder. had about it an unmistakable air of finality. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was buried. Lazarus was sealed in a grave. See the command in verses 39 to 40. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Take ye away the stone." People were stunned by this command. Martha, Lazarus' sister, misunderstood his purpose. She thought he wanted to view the body of his friend Lazarus. Such a thing was unthinkable, as decay had set in, corruption of the body. But see how he reinforced his command in verse 40. "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Poor Martha, her heart was filled with unbelief. She had forgotten so soon what she had said in verse 27. You remember what she said there? "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world." Her heart was filled with unbelief. And how grieved the Lord was at the unbelief. Well, we see the grave conquered here. In verses 41 to 44, the Lord's command prevailed. Martha's objections were overruled. Mary voiced no protest. Perhaps with her spiritual insight, she already had an inkling of what the Lord Jesus Christ was about to do. And see, the Savior prayed here in verses 41, 42. Lifted his eyes heavenward to the Father. See in the Gospels how many times Jesus prayed to his Father. He opened his mouth in prayer. Of course, he already knew the mind of his Father. And this matter was assured of the approval of heaven. But this public prayer, my friends, was for the sake of those who were gathered. It was the occasion of public thanksgiving, declaring his oneness with the Father at all times, in all situations. See the miracle here. He spoke with that word of power. You remember at the dawn of time, he spoke light into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was that word that said to the heaving waves and howling winds of the sea, "Be still," and immediately there was a great calm. It was that word that said to the leper, "I will, be thou clean," and immediately he was cleansed. That word that commanded the legion of devils to go out of the tormented man, at once they fled. The word rang out. And of course, Lazarus came forth. Lazarus, come forth. What else could he do? It was an effectual call, my friend. It was an effectual call. Oh, it was a personal call, yes. But it was an effectual call. The sound of the voice, corruption put on incorruption. What was sown in weakness was raised in power, and death was swallowed up in victory. Here's a foreshadowing of things to come, mentioned in that great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 37. Many years ago, an infidel was lecturing to a capacity crowd on the subject of his unbelief and his atheism. In the course of the lecture, he ridiculed the story of the raising of Lazarus here in John chapter 11. Throwing out his arm, he cried rhetorically, "Why did Jesus say, 'Lazarus, come forth'?" But in that room where he lectured, there was an old believer at the back of that hall. And he rose to the occasion and he said, "Sir, that's very simple. Because if Jesus had not said, 'Lazarus, come forth,' every dead person in the world would have come forth." And so they would. And so one day they will. Because all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of Christ, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting death.
That's what the Bible says. But this was an effectual call. Lazarus couldn't resist. He heard his name. And he came forth. What victory. He that was dead, verse 44, came forth. What a miracle. Life in the place of death. Notice further in verse 44, liberty in the place of bondage. The grave clothes that were binding him, that were winding sheets wrapped tightly around the embalmed body of the dead man, were loosed. Loose him and let him go. Liberty in the place of bondage. And of course, these bandages around him covered his eyes. And there was not only, when he was loosed, liberty in the place of bondage, but there was light in the place of darkness. What a deliverance. Notice the impact it was made, verse 45 to 46. Changed lives, my friend, are the best arguments of Christianity, for Christianity. And many of the Jews, verse 45, which came to Mary, had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. My friend, when the world sees men and women who have once been slaves to sin and in bondage to spiritual death and the devil, raised to newness of life and set free, they begin to think that this is the work of God. This is what God has done. Here is America. A woman who had been a drunkard and had come to Christ was standing at an open-air service when she noticed one of her former companions suddenly leave the crowd that was listening and walk away. She immediately ran after and found that woman in great distress. She said, "I listened to those speakers. But when I saw you standing there, wonderfully changed from what you used to be, I couldn't stand it any longer." She was persuaded by the lady to come back, to return to the meeting, and she was wonderfully saved that day. It wasn't the preaching that arrested her. It was the transformed life of her friend. Her friend was wonderfully saved. Her life was transformed. It impacted upon that woman's life. And the woman came to Christ as a result. The deliverance from death to life can be your experience tonight. That you can go from this place tonight quickened, as Lazarus was, from the death of sin to the newness of life in Christ. May it be so with you tonight. From death to life. Will you come to Christ tonight? Even now. Jesus Christ stepping into your life and changing your life. Oh, may it happen. A miracle of the raising of Lazarus. Maybe there's a Lazarus here tonight. God can raise you spiritually to new life in Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. We'll turn to our concluding hymn you'll see on the screen tonight. As we remain seated, then we'll stand for the closing prayer. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you place in the sanctified throng. We'll keep our seats as we sing.
God has spoken to you tonight, you're here and you're not saved, do please make your need known to us tonight. We'd be happy to open God's word and show you how you can be saved. Don't leave the meeting without the Lord tonight. Come to the Savior. Come to him now. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word by the power of thy Spirit to every heart. Bring souls to know thee and trust thee tonight as Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated and wait until it's indicated you can leave safely tonight.